Isaiah 26, verse 5. For he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground and brings it down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness, O most upright. You weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are on the earth, or in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. I believe it's an encouraging word for us to keep our mind on the Lord, our eyes on the Lord, to place our trust in Him. But then it goes on and it talks about God bringing down the lofty city. He lays it low. He brings it low to the ground. He brings it down to the dust. Think of the city that we live in. It's a lofty city. There's so much sin, blatant sin in this place. It's a sin where the enemy is walking around loftily saying, this is my city. This is my town. I will do in this town as I please. My people will have sex on the streets. They will take drugs across the road from the place of holiness. They will steal from the place of righteousness. God says the enemy has raised himself up loftily in this place, in this city, for long enough. I will take it back. I will trod down those with lofty hearts in the lofty city. And then look what it says. This was a blessing to me, because this is a challenge in this town. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor. Who are the poor? The poor are those that know they need Jesus. But the other poor are those that Jesus spoke about us. He said, the poor will always be among you. Poor financially. Poor. People have nothing. I can ask you to put up your hands, and there'll be a number of hands that'll go up in this place and say, I've got nothing. I'm homeless. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. God is calling us to walk in uprightness, church. Oh Lord, we have waited for you. This church, we've been praying for years, asking the Lord to move in the city. That banner up front there's been up for 4 years, if I'm not wrong. I've got a people in the city. We've been speaking about it. We've been preaching about it. We've been praying about it. God says, this is the year I'm going to move in this city. I'm going to bring down the loftiness of sin, the hell that this place is, and I'm going to raise up a place of righteousness for my people. Every place on which my foot shall tread, I have given you, says the Lord. Are you willing to partake? Are you willing to partake, church? Because we better hear the promise of the Lord this morning. We better hear the promise of the Lord this morning. It's not even in my message, but it's the word of the Lord. But I've got another word here, which I added in at the end of my message this morning. I thought, well, it's not really the right thing to end the message with. The Lord would also challenge us this morning, church. Numbers, maybe you can take out your Bibles with me. Read from the book of Numbers, chapter 32. As you do that, and as you open up your Bibles, I'm going to ask Donald to come forward. I'm going to ask Anthony to come forward. They've both come to church this morning. They're both struggling with something. I'm sure there's other people here struggling with something, but they're the ones I felt. I must call forward. I just want to ask if somebody can come and stand behind these men. Donald is not well. Donald says he hasn't been feeling well for a while now. Our Father, you know exactly what's going on here. We cut off the curse of the enemy. He wants to come and rob and kill and destroy. Donald, don't walk in fear. Don't think that the enemy has brought it back. He has not brought it back. We bind that thing in Jesus' name. And we loose the healing of the living God over him. There is nothing, Lord, that you cannot heal. And Lord, the word that came out in the prayer room this morning is that we would see miracles in this place. And we pray for a miracle for Donald, that he will start feeling better. He's got a work to complete.
Yes, Lord.
Give him his health.
Amen.
Pour out your spirit upon him this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let the stripes of Jesus be his healing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Don't walk in fear, Donald. Anthony, just turn around and lift up your hands. Show the people your hands. Anthony's got a form of skin cancer. I think it comes from his days as a car guard. You know what, Anthony? Those days are over. Isn't it amazing?
It's an awesome year this year.
No, listen to the Lord. He says those days are over. He says those days are over. I'm busy raising you up. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. If you turn your eyes away, it won't be. But if you keep your eyes on me, it will be, as I've told you, says the Lord, this morning. We've asked the Lord for miracles. Lord, I want to thank you. Anthony doesn't just have them on his hands. He came in here, couldn't shake hands, but they appear on his body all over the place. They cause a lot of pain. They come, but as we pray, we've seen them fall off. But this morning, Lord, we're asking for a miracle. We're praying that these things go and don't come back. I pray that those things will fall off like scales. Thank you that Anthony will come. Now there's the anointing of the Lord on you, Anthony. Heal him, Lord. We cut off the curse of sickness. We loose healing over him. I thank you, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. You are the living God, and by your stripes, Anthony's healed. Anthony, I loose that healing over you right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. Just receive it. The Lord's busy touching you. Just take it. Take it. Just receive that touch in Jesus' name. All of it goes right now in Jesus' name. By his stripes you have been healed. Sabara. That's it. And it comes out as well in Jesus' name. That which remains there comes out in Jesus' name. We bind the works of the devil. Satan, you've got no legal ground anymore. This is a man of God. Be free. Anthony, right now, you're a free man. I declare it over your life. I lose freedom over you. I bind the works of the devil and I lose freedom. In Jesus' name. Freedom in Christ. Serve him with your whole heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, let's do it. We just anoint these hands with oil. Sorry, I know it probably hurts. It's open in Numbers 32. It's too much for me to do this morning, but I need to be obedient. So I'm going to. This is a little bit of a hard scripture. So read with me. We're going to read Numbers 32, verse 1 to 2 and verse 5. This is not the message. This has got to do with the 3 weeks we're about to enter. There are those amongst us, and I'm going to challenge you this morning because I'm your pastor and I can. I'm going to challenge you this morning. You've already made up your mind. I'm going to let them being the rest of the congregation, do the Daniel fast. I will not participate. It's not for me. You've already decided you don't need the book. You don't need to study spiritual warfare. You're going to be an observer rather than a partaker. You've said, I'm not coming to the Wednesday meetings. I'm not trying to manipulate you, okay? Manipulation comes from Jezebel. It's a Jezebel spirit. Okay, you make up your own mind. But this is what the Word of God says. In Numbers 32, verse 1 to 2, the Israelites were ready to go into the promised land. We are about to take the city. This morning's message has also got to do with us taking the land, claiming the promised land in our lives. But in Numbers 32, verse 1 to 2, the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh, okay? They came and they said they had large herds. They said, Moses, God's representative, we're happy with what we got. We want to stay on this side of the Jordan. We're happy with our carnal wealth, our material wealth. We've got everything we want, yeah. Let me read it for you. 32 verse 1 to 2 and verse 5. The Reubenites and the Gadites, who had very large herds and flocks. Imagine that, coming out of the wilderness with very large herds and flocks. That must be God's hand on your life. Surely, if you come out of the wilderness, you got zip. But when they came out of the wilderness, they had very large herds and flocks. They were blessed. They saw that the lands of Jazer and Gilead were suitable for livestock. That was on the side of the Jordan where they were. So they came to Moses and Eleazar, the priest. They came to the leader and to the priest and to the leaders of the community, and they said, "If we have found favor in your eyes," they said, "let this land be given to your servants as our possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan." Doesn't that sound wonderful? What a wonderful request. They were blessed and they wanted to stay there. But God said, "I've got a promised land for you." They said, "No, we want to stay in this blessing." It doesn't matter if you're in the wilderness. God will bless your church. But God has got a promised land for you. Are you happy with the blessings that you've got today? Or do you want to move across the Jordan and inherit the promise, the land of milk and honey that God has got for you? These 2.5 tribes said, "No, we want to stay here. We are materially blessed. We're rich. We've got money. We've got no problems. We've got no troubles." But they said, "Don't make us go into the place of God's promise." What is your choice this morning, church? Are you going to stay here? You say, "I'm blessed. I don't need to fast. I don't need to pray. I know God. He's in my home. My finances are good. Everything's great. I don't have to cross over. I don't have to cross over." But God said, "Take the people and cross into the promised land." Are you willing to stay in the place of God's permissive blessing? Or you're going to move into the place of His perfect blessing, church? Come on, I want to hear some amens here. There's people in this church that have been making choices over years. It's not just got to do with the Daniel fast. It's not just got to do with the focus of this year. It's about everything in your life. You make choices daily and you say, "I'll stay here in God's permissive will." Is that really what you want? Is that really what you want, church? Come on, say no. Say it. No! Come on, say it properly. No! Say it with conviction. No! Hallelujah. This was meant to be a quiet, docile message like last week. I'm sorry. I can't. God gave me that before the service. It was meant to be at the end of the message. If I had time. God is challenging us, church. Are you willing to move into the place of the Lord's promise? My perfect place for you? Or are you going to stay here? In my permissive place. There's still blessings, yeah? They still had huge herds. They were blessed. God kept them clothed and fed them through 40 years in the desert. God says, "I've got more for you." Church, Christian Heritage, God has got more for us. Say, "I want more." Decide, "I want more." Let's do it a third time. I want more.
I want more.
Amen. Let's say it 5 times. I want more. Say it.
I want more.
And last time, say it with me. I want more. Why do I say that? Because of the king that only struck the floor 3 times. You don't want to stay in God's partial blessing. Amen. You've got to break through into His complete and total blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Whoa. God wants to bless you this year, church. I was listening, I was saying, "Okay, Lord, what are you saying for the church this year?" I normally go and I look what other pastors are saying. I try and find the where it correlates. Is God saying, because God's the same God, He's the same Holy Spirit. What happens here, He'll do somewhere else. But He's got a plan for this church and for this city. So this year, I haven't gone to listen what the other guys have said. Amen. I've gone with what I felt the Lord giving me. What are we going to do this year, not just over the next 3 years? We're going to take the city. Okay? It's the beginning. We're going to cross the Jordan. What did they do when they crossed the Jordan? Jericho fell. It's time for this Jericho to fall. It's time for this haughty spirit that thinks it can just blatantly walk around and keep this place in sin and keep this place in hopelessness. It stops today. Amen. We're going to possess the land. And what are we going to do over the next 3 weeks? We're going to focus on spiritual warfare. We're going to become strong in the spirit. And that has got to do with my message today. Amen. The Wednesday night meetings, you need to be at church. Don't say, ach, no, toch, it's a pain. I know that for some of you it's impossible, okay? Josh spoke to me. He works in Zanton. He sometimes works to 6 o'clock. To try and get here for 7 o'clock is near impossible, okay? So I will let one or two of you off. But actually, as a pastor, my heart is for you to be with us. I want to challenge you. I don't mind if you're not in a cell group. Come any case. I can tell you now, there's people sitting here that have come over previous years and their lives were transformed. God will change your life if you will allow Him to. Don't stay there on the other side of the Jordan. Yes, there's perfect land, there's good land for you. So what? God's got milk and honey for you on the other side, not just grass. Amen. Come and join with us. Take this book. Don't let it lie and collect dust. Don't say, ach, I'll go and look it up off the website and leave it alone. Don't say, I don't think I'm going to do that. I need my meat, I need my coffee, I need my milk, and I need my sugar, and I need my chocolates. I need that stuff, I can promise you. I do. But my spirit needs the other stuff. Amen? You may never have Daniel fasted. Daniel fast, some people say it's harder. It's easier because you can eat as much as you like. Okay, I don't think you should. I don't think it's good. Because then we're still indulging the flesh. But you can eat as much as you like. What can you eat? Fruit, vegetables, legumes, beans, lentils, all that good stuff. Soya. You must eat that kind of stuff because it's got protein in it. You've got to eat your meat replacements. Okay? Fruit and vegetables. If you're going to drink fruit juice, water it down. There's lots and lots and lots of sugar in fruit juice. Don't take too much of that stuff. It won't be good for you. All right? Eat your nuts. Even peanuts. Peanuts are cheap. Okay? A lot of people can't afford nuts, but peanuts are cheap. Shop around. Get the cheap prices for it. These veggie shops here in Krugersdorp West, their prices are very good. You can go there. Riverside, down here. Sometimes President Harper. Be careful. A pack of soya mints is cheap. You can do it at church. Just be careful, drink enough. And then I'd like to encourage you to make some days full fast days. Just drink water. Amen? So I'm not going to ask you to show me your hands, but I've already given you God's word. Are you going to stay on the wrong side of the journal, or are you going to come across with us? Now you can say I was manipulating you. Pastor can take the word of God and manipulate it and make you feel bad and get you to make it. I can get you all there at the altar, admitting, confessing your sins. I don't want to do that. I want to challenge your heart. Are you with me? Do you see my heart in this? I want you to cross into the promise. I want to speak to you briefly about a couple of things that I believe we're going to do this year. Late last year, there were two ladies that came and spoke to me. One said, they focused in on that scripture where the blind beggar said, Jesus, Son of David, don't pass me by. He shouted even when they said, don't. He called, the Lord spoke to us, we need to call out to Jesus, the Son of David. We need to say, don't pass us by. We need to repent for the city. We need to repent for our own lives. We need to repent for the city. There's so much iniquity going on around in the city. We need to stand in the gap and repent on their behalf. The Lord showed us we need to walk the streets and repent. We're going to do that. I don't know if we can do it in our prayer meetings in the fast. It won't be tomorrow night, Dave. But we're going to do that as part of what we're doing. We're going to repent in this city. We're going to march the streets and we're going to repent. Then somebody else came and spoke to me, and this is going to rattle your religious bones, like us not having church on Christmas Day. I'm glad you all came back, just by the way. Good Friday. Good Friday. It's a couple of months away. So you've got time to settle your spirit and mess with your religiousness. Good Friday, we are going to gather. And instead of coming and sitting here and hearing a sermon, we are going to go with a cross and we're going to walk through the city. And we're going to declare Jesus Christ is Lord. And once again, we're going to repent on behalf of the city. And we're going to say, Jesus Christ, Son of David, do not pass us by. Amen. Is that rattling your religious bones a little bit? Who wants to do that? Can I see a show of hands? I don't want to be a bunk day. Church, if you're not going to come here, you must go to another church. Because that is if there is a religious day on the Christian calendar, that's the day. Amen? Good Friday. It's when everything changed. Hallelujah. We can say there's a lot of days when everything changed. But that is the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and mine, paid for our sins. For you and I, paid for our sins. We need to buy in, church. God is showing us these things. It's not just my ideas. God's speaking to people. Amen? So we need to buy. We'll talk about it more. The idea is to get the other churches involved in the city. Pray for me for favor, because I need to approach them. I'm a relatively unknown pastor in this town. Pray for me, church. And then let's get ourselves ready to go and walk on the streets. And if it's just our church, great. If it's just a quarter of this church, great. Okay, God will honor it. But I challenge you, each and every one. If you can't walk, then you need to be here praying for those that are on the street. Amen? Hallelujah. And we'll do it at 8 o'clock in the morning. Maybe 9, I don't know. It depends when the other churches can do it. That was the one thing I wanted to speak to you about. We need to enter in. Well, that's kind of the two things I wanted to speak to you about. We need to enter in. We need to start doing what God, and if He tells us to do some strange things, then let's do them. Amen. Don't miss Wednesday night. Oh, and then the third thing I wanted to talk to you about, Connie did mention it. If you've got binoculars, you can read it. Otherwise, you can take a magnifying glass or reading glasses. This is just foods that you can eat in the fast. For those of you that have never fasted before, it's really quite a nice thing. It tells you all fruits, all vegetables, whole grains, nuts and seeds, legumes. Conrad read it, but it actually gives you details what they are. It gives you a couple of menu ideas, some recipes. A Daniel fast doesn't have to be totally boring. You can eat that food, and it gives you ways to eat it in a way that just makes it palatable. Sometimes during the Daniel fast, you get the point where you just can't anymore. Just change it up, change it up. Oats is a very good breakfast. It'll sustain you. What we do is we boil the oats. You can cut in some banana or throw in some raisins. It'll carry you through the morning. It's a great breakfast. And there's other things that can help you. A baby potatoes in your lunchbox. Just some ideas. Nuts, grapes, fruit, bananas, whatever. Whatever's cheap, eat it. Watermelon. Okay, just don't swallow too many of the pips. I don't need you come here with watermelons growing out your ears. All right. Are you with me this morning, church? You've got a bit quiet. Now I've preached for 10 minutes without even starting to preach. I just believe that God is going to move. There are some phenomenal teachings that are going to be shared in the next 3 weeks on a Wednesday. Don't miss it. If the worship team is around, please come and join me. I will lead the worship. Or I might ask if they are available for one of them to lead it. And invite people to come and join us. This is not just for us, it's for the church. All right, so let me get into the message. Get ready. You see the little man, he's on his marks. Get set. Huh. Okay, if I were to jump up then, I would probably break something or split my pants. I was just saying that to see if you're still awake. I heard a giggle or two. Are you awake, church? Amen. God has got a plan for us. That also came out in the prophetic word. He's got a plan for each of our lives. He's got a plan for Christian Heritage. Around 4 years ago, He gave us that banner. What's on that banner? I still have many people in the city. Acts 18:10. Clearly, our role as a church is to take the city for God. But God has got a promised land for your life and for my life, assigned for His plan for the church. It's not just about what Christian Heritage Church is going to do. God is interested in you and I as individuals. Can I hear an amen? He's got a plan for your life and for my life. Last week we heard about Jesus that is the restorer of dreams. That is also the enemy trying to rob you of God's plan and purpose for your life. Jesus is the restorer. Okay? Our goal and our dream and our promised land needs to become a reality. When we say we are going to take the city, what do you think we are doing? We're effectively declaring war. Who is it? Is it North Korea? That's having grief with America? Can you imagine if they say, well, I don't care what you're going to do. I'm going to push this button and I'm going to go and blow up Washington City. That would be a declaration of war. Amen? All right, I hope they don't do it. I don't want them to do it. We need to pray that they don't do it. But it's just an example. When we say we're going to take the city, we are going to come against those that have so blatantly been going about in the city, declaring that the enemy is king, declaring that the enemy's ways are the right ways, declaring that the land belongs to the devil. We are declaring war against that statement, and we need to get ready as God's people. We are His army. And we need to say, we declare war in the heavenlies. And we declare war in the natural. Because some of these things are being manifested in the natural. Amen. So we need to get ready. You can't go to war if you're not ready. And that's what this morning's message is all about. We need to get ready. If you go in your Bibles, and I'm sure you've still got them there, to Joshua chapter 1, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Go and open it up in Joshua 1 and verse 10. God is speaking to this church today and He says, it's time to get ready. We need to prepare ourselves. Are you all there? I still see one or two people getting there. In Joshua 1 and verse 10 to 11, it says this. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Now we know that with the Lord a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. God obviously spoke to Joshua. He gave him the day. He said, on that day, I want you to cross. Joshua went to the people and he said, prepare provisions. For within 3 days, church, I believe the Lord is saying to us this morning, prepare provisions. For within 3 weeks, at the end of the Daniel fast, I am going to have you ready to cross over the Jordan. Can I hear an amen? Within 3 weeks, if a year is 1 day is 3 years, as a year, then I can say 1 day is as a week. Okay? 3 days, 3 weeks. I believe it's prophetic. Amen? Within 3 weeks, we need to be prepared so that we can cross over. Church, we're not ready today, but over the next 3 weeks, we will get ourselves ready. And that is why I had to share what I shared earlier on. About those 2.5 tribes that chose to stay on the wrong side of the Jordan. They made a compromise. They said, we will leave our little ones and our wives and our cattle on this side and we'll come and fight with you. And then they compromised. Compromise is not God's plan for your life. Compromise is not God's. Say it with me. Compromise is not God's plan for my life. The promised land is God's plan. Amen. He said to them, prepare provisions for yourself. So the first thing you and I need to do so that we can cross into the promised land is to prepare provisions. Now when I was in the army, when we were going out on exercises or when we went out on patrol, when we were on the border, we had to be ready. The first thing we got was basic training. For 6 months or 3 months, I can't remember properly. We were drafted for 2 years. We had no choice. If you didn't go, you went to jail. All right? We had no choices. Some people were lucky enough. They joined Telkom and they went and did that. And, whatever. There were ways out. But for the general population, we were forced to go to the border. 17 years old. Okay? I turned 18 after I'd gone to Bethlehem. It was horrible. 17 years old. Called up. But if you want to go into a place of war, you need to be prepared. All right, so they trained us. The next 3 weeks is a time of training, church. It's basic training in spiritual warfare so that we can take the city. You've already got the Spirit of God in you. You already love God. You already know His Word. But you need to get prepared to do what God is calling us to do. Amen. But if I wanted to go, or if we wanted to go and do exercises, we would get told at 0600 hours, on such and such a date, we are going. You need to be ready. And if I wasn't ready, I was in big trouble. How did I get ready? Well, I packed my rucksack. I made sure I had the right clothes I needed. I made sure that my sleeping bag was rolled up and strapped in. We didn't have tents. I don't know why we didn't have tents. But there were tents that were struck up for us to use. I had to make sure that I had my water bottle and there was water in my water bottle. And then I had my clothes on, my right clothes. I couldn't go out barefoot, all right? I had to clean my rifle. I had to make sure that the ammunition was there. I had enough ammunition, all right? Otherwise, if I went out I was going to get myself in some serious trouble. Church, we need to get ready. You can't go out into spiritual war. We're declaring war. You can't go out unprepared. Jy gaan pak slag kry. We need to be ready. That is why you can't afford to say, I'll just stay on this side. Because let me tell you, the enemy is not going to just declare war on those of us that go out. Hallelujah. Oh, and that's not a negative statement, okay? It's a war that's ongoing. You'll read that. If you go into this, we'll read about the invisible war. Day one, tomorrow, the invisible war and the call to arms. Jesus spoke about being ready for war. In Luke 14, verse 31, he spoke about this. He said, or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. The king had to sit down and plan and prepare and make sure his army was ready, make sure they were trained properly, make sure they had enough, because otherwise they would have been overrun. We need to be prepared. If Jesus said a king has to be ready, how much more do you and I have to be ready? We are kings and priests. If we're going to take the city, if we're going to claim the promised land God has got for you and I personally, we need to be prepared. How do I prepare? How do I prepare provisions for myself? Well, provisions refers to food. Okay? We need to make sure we got plenty spiritual food. You'll get plenty spiritual food over the next 3 weeks. I can promise you that. If you commit yourself to the next 3 weeks, you're going to get more spiritual food than what you're used to having on a daily basis. We need to satisfy ourselves by spending plenty time in the Lord's presence, more time than normal. We need to ingest His Word and make sure that we understand it and know it. We need to drink of the living water. In John 7, verse 37 to 39, Jesus says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, we need to fill our water bottles, church. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We need the rivers of living water flowing out of our hearts if we're going to take the promised land, if we're going to take the city, if we're going to take the promised land in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit, yeah, flowing through our lives all the time. We need to be ready, church. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. We shouldn't even consider going out if we don't have the Holy Spirit in us. Church, the first thing you need is to be full of the Holy Spirit. How do I get full of the Holy Spirit? Well, I ask the Lord for that fullness. I spend time in His presence and I deal with the things that are a block to the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'll get there later on. Are you with me, church? Hallelujah. You need to stay awake because I'm only starting. Zechariah 4 verse 6, it says what? It says it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. We are not going to take the city. We are not going to claim our personal promised land except by the Spirit of the living God. We need His Spirit in us. We need to go and drink. We need to go and get that river of living water flowing. Then we can prevail. Amen. Amen. Getting our provisions ready. Then we need to make sure our armor is right. I spoke about my boots. I spoke about my armor. I need to pack and make sure enough. We put on the armor of God. We will study that in this 3 weeks. The armor of God. But we need to make sure that we are wearing it. Because you know what we do? We get up and we think we go to bed and we just take our armor off. You know what? If you're in battle, you don't get undressed. You slap down and I fail clearer. Young? And you keep your rifle right here next to you. And you make sure you're ready. If you hear a shot in the middle of the night, right. You can't say, oh, where's my helmet? Where's my salvation? Where's my faith? I better go and quickly stir up some faith. And you guys are far too quiet this morning. Are you with me? Amen. You can't. You've got to have your armor ready. Have you got your armor ready, church? Or are you just confessing it as a numb repetition? You know what God says? These people confess my word with their lips, but it doesn't sink down to the heart. Isn't that what what God said of the Israelites? My people confess, but their words are empty. There's nothing here. You can't have the armor of God if all you say, in the morning I wake up, oh, okay, Lord, I put my belt of truth, my sandals, oh, what's the next one? Sandals of readiness, yes, and, oh, yeah, my breastplate of righteousness, and, yeah, salvation, Diana, and then I pick up the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, and we stop there, okay? What does it carry on say? Pray on all kinds of prayers. Pray, 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 pray. Amen. You've got to be ready, church. It can't be numb. It's like saying grace. Thank you, Lord, for this food. Amen. Okay. Can't be numb repetition. It's got to be real. Go and study that stuff. Go and see what it really means. And say, am I really making this a reality in my life? That's getting your preparing, getting your provisions ready. We sharpen our weapons. Make sure that rifle is clean. I say, failures, they can fuss. It's dangerous when a rifle, automatic rifle, if it gets dirty, if you fire, carbon fills the barrel and the working parts. So the more you use it, the more dirty it gets. Eventually it jams. Now I stand up, I want to shoot my enemy, and he shoots me first because my gun is jammed, or my gun explodes in my face, and I kill myself. That happens, okay? I'm speaking as somebody who was once a soldier. You've got to be ready. We need to make sure we're sharp on the Word of God. I want to challenge you during these next 3 weeks. Meditate on the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. What's that scripture again? Yeah, it says something like, memorize the Word of God. Go and memorize it. I can give you, there's about 5 or 10 scriptures for spiritual warfare, which you can memorize and quote quickly. Greater is he is in me than he that is in the world. I have authority and power over all the power of the enemy. I can stand in snakes and scorpions and they will by no means harm me. There's lots of those scriptures. Amen? Go and memorize them. Get ready. Get ready for warfare. Are you prepared? Are you full of God's Spirit, church? Have you been memorized? When last did you memorize a scripture? How many scriptures have you memorized in the last year? Let alone the last week? That's the first part of our preparation, is we need to prepare provisions. The second step is that we need to consecrate ourselves. The second part of that is consecrate yourself. So 3 days before, Joshua said, go in amongst the people, my leaders, and tell them to prepare provisions. They need to get ready. 3 days, 3 weeks, church. And then just before, he said to the people, he said, sanctify yourselves. The day before, sanctify yourselves. That is, I'm taking this from the Amplified, sanctify yourselves. That is, separate yourselves for a special holy purpose. Separate yourselves for a special holy purpose. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you, Joshua told the people. Church, the other part, it says sanctify yourself. We know we're sanctified by the blood of Christ. Other translations say consecrate yourselves. I prefer that word. Consecration means we set ourselves apart. Are you just like the people in the world that you're living with? Are you just like your carnal family? Do you participate with them in worldly stuff, ungodly stuff? I'm not just talking about having a meal or checking fellowship as a family. I'm talking about ungodly stuff. Is there compromise in your life and in my life? Okay, I'm talking to myself too. What are the things I need to deal with, church? Because if I say I'm going to consecrate myself, I say I'm going to come out from what I'm doing and I'm going to do something different. I'm going to come out to the Lord. I'm going to separate myself to Him. I'm going to leave that other pursuit, the other people. I'm hiding away here because I want to say I'm doing something different. I'm doing something different. I'm doing something different from the way that I've been doing it. You see what the problem is? God moves in our lives. We'll have a conference and we come on fire. We had the fire conference last year. Man, the Lord moved. And then we had the conference in October or September and God moved. And we had the fast last year in January, and God moved. But it's just human nature that over a period of time, that which is fresh becomes stale. We start to compromise. This compromise, the Lord's been dealing with me. He's been reminding me this and that, but you're allowing this and you're doing that, and you're not speaking about this and or speaking out about things that aren't right. And compromise. How do I deal with compromise? Well, I separate myself. Fasting is a time of separation. We're separating ourselves from the normal way of eating, and we're going to a different way of eating, which doesn't please the flesh so much. We're separating ourselves out from the fleshly things. I can tell you, I often speak about a church. I could pretend I'm holier than thou, but I'd be lying. Okay? I've got many failures and faults. So do you. It doesn't make me feel any better. I'll just insult you as I insult myself. I'm just joking, okay? I'm saying that to try and see you smiling, because if you're smiling, you're awake. Okay. We get ourselves disposed and say, I'm not going to watch those programs. And then we start watching them again. And all of a sudden, a swear word comes in. And in the old days, I said, when the swear word comes, switch off the TV or change to a different channel. Or if blasphemy comes, no. No ways. I'm not watching it. But now it's a program I start to like. So it sinks in. It's just once. I'll just carry on watching. Amen? That's how quickly we go backwards. That's how quickly we compromise. Ne? It's not just me. I won't ask you to put up your hand. It's the same way with our language. It's the same way with how we speak to people. We need to consecrate ourselves. That was the other thing I wanted to say before I started preaching this morning, church. Stay with me. We are getting ready. This is part of getting ready. I want to briefly speak to you about this country that we live in. Now, we like to do this, okay? But I want us to sometimes just take our fingers and do this. Just remember there's four fingers or three, at least three pointing back at me. One's pointing up. We can't blame God. Okay. We are in a country where anarchy reigns. It's a reality. I was listening to the radio. I was thinking about what's going on. Anarchy reigns in this country. They were talking about the trains. They were talking about the problems after the accidents. Now there's manual signs. Who heard about the trains? Have you all heard the news? There were two big trains. So the one last one was caused because they'd gone onto a manual system and somebody made a mistake. They let a train go through that shouldn't have gone through and it hit a stationary carriage. Okay? Now everybody is upset with, what's it called? PRASA. Okay? Everybody's upset. These guys are useless. They don't know what they're doing. But then their spokesman comes on the line and he says, do you know what happens? They keep stealing power cables. The power cables which operates the automatic system which doesn't make mistakes. They keep stealing them. We replace that cable and within 6 hours it's gone again. Theft. But no, it's okay because we put and we need money. We're going to steal these cables and go and sell it so we can eat. All right? So it's okay to steal, isn't it? No, it's not, church. It's compromise. It's sin. Okay? Then the commuters, they're on the trains. But now, because the cable has been stolen, let alone they get killed because of accidents, the train runs late all the time. Who uses trains here? Can I see a show of hands? How late does it run, Tony? You catch the train every day. Oh, sorry, I can't hear you. But the train, does it run late often? Often. Okay, so they get upset. And what do? They burn the coaches. Now, is it Price's fault that the train's running late? No. But because somebody here has stolen and compromised and sinned, okay, I feel now I'm over here, I can blame Prasa, who's not to blame, okay, and I can justify my sin of causing damage to somebody else's property. Amen. That is the country we're living in, all right? Because somebody else is doing something wrong, it's okay for me to do something wrong. Are you with me? Right? That's one area. So then I was listening to the guy who said, over the last year they repaired 500 coaches. How many of those coaches do you think have been damaged again? 300 out of 500. Now you say, but what are they doing with the money? They're not managing the money. Rubbish. They are. They're trying. I'm not saying it's like that everywhere. Then you listen to about the other things. And you hear of corruption in this place. And you get in your car and you start driving, and you go down the road. And okay, here's somebody who treats the robot, red robot, as a stop street. And another one who treats a stop street as a look and go. Oh, and then there's somebody throwing a tin out the window. Children and I were driving home yesterday, and a car was coming this way across the road towards us. And you know why? Because the guy was taking his beer tin and over the roof. So he couldn't drive straight. And then he drove past me and he waved, sorry. That's the country we're living in. But that's the people we have become. Church, we like that. Who Who never doesn't stop at a stop street? That's sitting here that's got a driver's license. Can I see? Well done. One end. Okay? Out of all of us. Right? And I didn't put up my end either. Okay? Who has never dropped a piece of paper on the ground? Ugh, everybody else is doing it. It's a mess here. I'll just mark. Who's never tripped themselves up? And that happened sooner or later. At least I didn't fall. The other night I tripped on the step. I went flying. Cheryl saw it and she got a skirt. I got up and my back whistle. Anyway, who here has never sinned or done something wrong or compromised? Who here has never disliked or hated somebody because of something that they've done? Church, we all compromise. I want to challenge you. The Lord's put something in my heart. I want to actually start a movement. Simple. I do right. Three words. I do right. I want to challenge you today on the eve of our Daniel's fast to make this commitment in your own heart and say, I do right. And we choose to stop compromising. And we choose to stop doing the things that we know very well are against the law of the land. Okay, I can carry on. No, I'm not going to do that. But I can talk about doing your tax return because you know they're wasting the money anyway. So why should I give them what is legally theirs because the laws of the land say it's right? Okay? Can I challenge you today to start with me and say, I do right? I do right. It's got to start somewhere, church. Can't say we're going to wait until the government gets it right. We can't say we're going to wait until the municipality gets it right. You can't even say you're going to wait until the pastor gets it right. Let's start today. Let's start today and say, I do right. And let's start a movement. There's enough of us to start a movement that will change this country. It takes individuals. It takes you and I to stop at stop streets. It takes you and I to stop and look before we cross the road. It takes you and I to control our anger when somebody does what's wrong and say, Lord, bless that person that has offended me. Are you with me? I've just given you some stupid examples. I do right. I need to work on it. But can we make today day one of I do right? That's part of being consecrated. Because the Bible says we need to obey the laws of the land. Unless they are contrary to the word of God. It's the only time we don't obey the laws of the land, if it's contrary to the word of God. Amen? As jy nog met my. I do, say it with me, I do right. 1, 2, 3. I do right. Can you and I make that choice? Now we can sit here and be holier than thou and say, yeah. But what about on the way home today, in the car? Are you going to do what's right? What about getting to work on time? I do right. What about working when the boss isn't looking? I do right. What about loving your wife and loving your husband instead of retaliating when they do something to offend you? I do right. What about loving your children? What about listening to the Lord when He puts on your heart, go and help that person or go and pray for that person? I do right. I do right, church. It's part of being consecrated. We make sure we are consecrated. I've got 4 or 5 points about being consecrated. We make sure we are consecrated by aligning our lives with God's word. In John 17:17, it says this, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The word of God is the means by which God sanctifies His people. We get God's word in us and we start doing what the word of God says. The key is obedience. We need to say, I will obey God's word first. God's word says I must obey the law of the land, so then I obey the words of the law of the land as well. Amen. Simple. I do right. Are we willing to obey and be part of what God is doing? The second point under consecration, consecration means that we choose to live as living sacrifices. Ooh, daai enige moeilik wees. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, we know it well. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech you, I beg you, my brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So I beg you, but I want to also just remind you, this is your reasonable service. This isn't actually optional stuff. It's reasonable. Okay? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, test, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Church, it's time for us to start living as living sacrifices. It cannot be me, myself, and I first. My way, not God's way. If it's not my way, God can take the highway, and I'll stay here in my way. If I'm prospering here on this side of the Jordan, and I've got lots of cattle and sheep and whatever, and everything's going well for me, you guys can go. Marak play iso, vandus lekker iso. No! No! We need to live our lives as living sacrifice. It means we do the things that are not always so lekker, like a Daniel fast. Amen. I can tell you, I'm not so looking forward to vegetables and fruits. But I know it'll be good for me. I know it'll change me spiritually. Are you looking forward to coming to church on Wednesday night? Lekker to stay though. Come, live as a living sacrifice. But it goes way beyond those things. It means I'm going to do right. I do right. Amen. And be not conformed to this world and the ways of this world. What worldly ways have we conformed ourselves to? What have we got so used to? Ooh, here come Facebook. I spend more time with Facebook than I do with Jesus because I love it. That which you spend more of your time with, that which I do tells me where my heart is. I break that addiction of Facebook over your lives right now and over mine, in Jesus' name, right now. And the internet, and WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, I can carry on. What's it? I don't use it, the one with the pictures, Pinterest. Break that addiction right now. If you've got time to spend 2 or 3 hours a day on Pinterest, on Facebook, then you've got time to spend with Jesus. And if you say you don't, you're a liar. Let's not compromise this. Oof. Pastor Keith. When we fast, we bring our body into subjection to our spirit. We make sacrifices regarding that which we eat and the things we love. Coffee. Ons gaan bietjie kopseer kry môre. And maybe the next day and the next day and the next day. Are you willing to push through? We bought decaffeinated coffee in preparation. But I still think there's sugar, chocolate, all those things. Causes headaches. Are you willing to push through the headache and carry on fasting, even if it's not lekker? Fasting takes our focus off the secular and carnal things that have become a distraction in our lives. And we focus on God. That's why we get better when we fast, not God. When we fast, we endeavor to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. Which is, there we can find out what God's perfect and acceptable will is. When we fast, our thinking, taking captive every thought, our thinking becomes focused on God and the things of God. And as a result, we draw nearer to Him. And things start happening and changing in our lives because now we are close to God. I found a scripture, I don't know where it is. It says, if we love God, He knows us. If we love God, He knows us. If we love God, He knows us. When my thinking becomes focused on Him, and when my love changes from Facebook to God, my time moves from Pinterest to God, or video series, and I'm speaking to myself, to God. Whatever it is that I have an addiction of, alcohol, to God. Say, my child loves me. I know him. I'll bless him. And I hear an amen. Am I painting a picture for you this morning? As we consecrate our lives to God, we align ourselves with His instruction. This is a hard instruction. He said, be holy, because I am holy. Church, I'm probably guilty of it myself. We want to encourage our people. We see the struggles that our people go through. We see the hardship. I see your hardship. I come here, my heart wants to just encourage you in the Lord. And as a result, I encourage you and I become a motivational speaker instead of a man of God who stands and says, hey, be holy. Be holy. Stop your sin. Stop your nonsense. Align yourself with God's word. It's tough, eh? There's an ander pastoor vanoggend. But we can't just have the good. God is a righteous and a just God. Jesus Christ died because of sin. Your sin and my sin. If we think we can wishy-washy live our lives as we please, we are wrong. It's time to stop the nonsense of sin. Become holy as God is holy. We can't be children of a holy God and be a children that are full of debauchery and sin and lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Full of arrogance. Ach, I've got grace. It's not like that church. Today is the day we say, no, we're going to consecrate ourselves to the King of Kings. We want His blessings. We choose to live our lives the way He wants us to, and not in the compromise that suits us. Can I hear an amen? Amen. A famous story about a young Jewish boy who sang a song, a hymn. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Many heard him sing the song and they cried. Why? Because they knew circumstances. This little Jewish boy, his father said to him, gave him a choice. He said, it's my way or the highway. He said, either you stop going to Sunday school in the Christian church or you can leave this house. The little boy left. He wrote the song. People in the church took him in. Must have happened many years ago. What is it that you and I are willing to sacrifice for what we believe? Are we willing to become a living sacrifice? To consecrate ourselves? Consecration means separating ourselves from those who are bad for us. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says this, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch that which is unclean. And I will receive you. Are our hands dirty, church? We always say, but Jesus fellowshiped with sinners. He did. You can also fellowship with sinners. But if you are fellowshipping with sinners on a regular basis and they are impacting your life and leading you into a sinful life, then you need to come out. It's as simple as that. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Have your friends led you into compromise, church? Consecration sometimes means making tough decisions, breaking off friendships. Finally, consecration means to abide in Christ. Once we have been aligned, consecration point number one, align ourselves with God's word. Number two, made our lives a living sacrifice. Number three, dealt with those friendships which are not good for us. We need to become Jesus' friend and abide in Him. John 15, verse 3 to 5. You're already clean because of the word. I've consecrated myself by spending time in the word, which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We need to abide in Jesus Christ. When we've come out from all the rest, we need to draw near to Jesus. Spend time in His presence. Revelation 3:20, Jesus talking to the church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Don't you want to eat with Jesus? Don't you want to fast with Jesus? Amen? Song of Solomon 2:16, my beloved is mine and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies. Solomon 2 verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house. He wants to eat with us, church. He wants to eat with you. He wants us to fast, to spend time in his presence. In And his banner over me was love. My beloved is mine and I'm his, and his banner over me is love. You know, I looked up that old song. Did you sing it in children's church or in Sunday school? It's a Sunday school song. It shouldn't be a Sunday school song. It should be a Christian song. I could not find one instance on the internet where it was being sung by a church or by adults for adult purposes. There's a new one by Bethel. Josh, you must go and listen. I sent it to you. It's beautiful, but they've changed it a bit. But that old song is seen as a Sunday school song. When we start to abide in Christ, we come into the place where physical food no longer matters. And we want to feast on that spiritual food. I'll conclude with this. Before we can cross our Jordan into the promised land and to take the city, we need to prepare provisions. We need to spend time in God's word. We need to make sure our armor is on, and we need to spend time praying. Fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. We need to consecrate ourselves, align ourselves with God's word, become living sacrifices, be separate from those who are not good for us, and abide in Christ. Are you and I willing to make the right choices this morning as we enter our Daniel fast? This is the opportunity the Lord has given us to get ready. This is why he's given me this message. I'm going to pick up my guitar, or Josh's guitar, and I'm going to sing that old song. I want to invite you. I know there's 10 to 11, there's time. Come here. Come down to the altar. Come and separate yourself. Come and make a commitment to the Lord. Come and say, Lord, I've been compromising. Today, I start on this journey, and I prepare provisions, and I separate myself, and I will commit to this 3 weeks so that I can take the promised land. I can take this city, and I can take that which is mine in my life. Are you okay? Is she okay? Is she not okay? Let's just pray for her. Lord, I pray for this child. And I'm going to pick up that guitar. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to sing a song. You can sing it with me. Hallelujah.